Praise the Lord. What a beautiful song. And what a wonderful truth that is. How great thou art. I hope you know that. I hope you know how great God is. Boy, you just look around. Anytime we travel, anytime I fly, I always think, who in the world do we think we are that we can do this? I mean, you ever think about it? Look at these huge jets and look at the huge people. I mean, all the luggage, all the stuff, a seat itself, how much it weighs, and fuel that is going into it, all of that, and then here we go, and you're flying. And I always think, who do we think we are that we can actually do this? And then we do it, and everybody's doing it. I mean, they're flying all over the place, and you look around at the sky, and you look around at mountains and oceans and all that, and it just, how great thou art. God, you're just so great. And, you know, he lets us do something. I mean, you know, he lets us fly. He lets us drive. He lets us get around like that. And it's just, it's an amazing, amazing thing. And I can still remember the first time I really understood that song. We were going through a tough time, and it was in Bible college. And we went to my mom's, who she lived around Gainesville, Florida at the time, and she lived on a little lake. And I sat out there and watched the sunset and watched the stars come out. And I sat there and sang that song, just me and the Lord, realizing just how great God really is. And boy, I hope you realize that today, just how great he is. No matter what your trial is today, no matter what your problem, no matter what's going on in your life, God is, he is able to take care of that. Now, I show you here, it would have been good to read the whole chapter, but I just kind of took out a couple of verses here, and familiar passage of Scripture here, of course, of God commanding Adam and Eve and giving them the instructions for the world they were to live in. And can you imagine the Garden of Eden? A perfect place, absolutely perfect for them, and it would have been perfect for any of us. And God tells them in verse 15, the Bible says, God, he took the man, he put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And of course, we know the Bible says that Adam named the animals. And you ever think about that, how everything got its name? That's a whole other thing. My wife and I were, you know, when you have a lot of time together, you talk about everything. And we were trying, you know, can you name a fly a fly? Why do you name a fly a fly? Why don't you name the bird the fly? You know, hey, there's a fly. Or when you know, a plane, why don't you call that a fly? Hey, we're getting on the fly. But anyway, you know, and you get to, we you think about that, and so they've done all that. They everything's new, everything's perfect for them, and everything's going great. And in verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." I mean, there's orange trees, apple tree, everything, anything you want, fig tree. You can eat any of the food, anything you want there. You know, in my mind, of course, I think there's the T-bone steak tree. There's the sirloin tree, the ribeye tree, bacon trees, all those kind of things. But everything's theirs, whatever they want. It's all yours. You've got it. But then we get to verse 17, and this is where so many of us have a problem. Right here, verse 17 is where so many of us struggle. It says, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it." Three words right there. Thou shalt not. Now, I preached on this this passage. I preached on this in chapel a couple of years ago. And I want to talk to you about those three words, thou shalt not, this morning. Because that's where your problem is. I mean, so many folks in this room right here, you know, honestly, you don't see all that God's given because you see what he won't let you have. You don't recognize all the blessings because you see those thou shalt nots and it bothers you. Well, I want that. I got to have that. You know, in Romans, the downfall of man, it seems, it always comes with neither were they thankful. They didn't see all that God gave because God said, here's the one thing that you cannot have. Thou shalt not eat of it. By the way, it says, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. I just can't believe God won't let me have that. Well, in the day you eat that, you'll die. I just can't believe God won't give me that. But it's not good for you. But I'm upset God won't let me have. Well, that's because God knows what'll happen if you have that. Yeah, but what's wrong with God? Doesn't God want me to be happy? You know, what's his problem? No, God knows that the day that thou eatest, you'll die. Why don't you understand God loves you? Thou shalt not. Father, I pray you bless today. Speak to our hearts as we look at your word. And I pray for your guidance and your direction as I preach. Give me your power. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We did, on our trip to Hawaii this year, we learned of the first negative. This was our fifth time we've been to Hawaii. And we did find out our first negative. I've always said there's no bad days in Hawaii because it's always, everything's good. But when we arrived, we noticed it was kind of hazy. Things are usually very crisp looking and sharp because the air is so clear. But we noticed it was kind of hazy. And the first full day we were there was on a Tuesday. And we were out, we did our walking and walked many, many miles. And we found that our breathing was really hindered. And the thing we both noticed was the mountains didn't look, you know, everything looked kind of hazy, even though the sun was out very bright and it wasn't cloudy or anything. And we were we couldn't figure that out. And both of us remarked how our eyes were burning so much. And on the second day, which was a Wednesday, we did the same thing. But I had watched the news that morning, and they said something about bog. Bog. And I thought, that announcer must be having a problem. He can't speak right because, you know, what in the world? You know, because they kept talking, oh, the bog is so bad. And they even gave a warning in the weather report that the bog was very bad. And said, if you have asthma, if you have any kind of breathing problems, you need to stay in. Do not stay outside for long periods of time because it will affect your breathing and all of that. The vog. And I said, vog? Vog, Ken. I mean, vog. This guy doesn't even know how to talk. He doesn't know what fog is. You know, these Polynesian people don't know how to speak English. And so on Wednesday, we did our thing like always and everything. But boy, by Wednesday night, we sat in church. Of course, church is outdoors. It's not outdoors, but all the walls are open. You just have to be there to understand it. No suits, no ties. Fooey on all that stuff. But we're sitting there and I'm trying to sing and I can't hardly sing because I'm you know, coughing up all this stuff and my eyes are burning. And by the time we got home, I mean, my eyes were burning. And I said, well, they keep talking about vog and to stay in. And so we got on the internet and we looked up vog, and it's from the other island, the volcanic ash and smoke rises up, and then it had blown over our island and it settled over our island, and so it's sulfuric acid, and I've been breathing that for the last couple days. And I mean, it hit me, you know, and it hit me real bad, and I got real sick. Now Brenda, she didn't have the same problems, but I'm telling you, it is the one negative. But it was interesting because the second day we were there, I heard the warnings. But I said, oh, well, I don't care about that. They don't know what they're talking about. They can't pronounce fog, and they're calling it vog. And so I went ahead and did my thing. And, you know, you say, well, preacher, I guess you paid the price. And yeah, for about 4 days, I was out. I mean, I was sick, couldn't breathe. And Brenda about took me into the hospital and everything because it was so bad. But you know what? That's what happens to everybody who doesn't heed the warnings. I mean, isn't that what happens if you don't pay attention? I mean, honestly, they gave the warning. They weren't, hey, you know what I thought? I thought, hey, what are you trying to do, ruin my time? Who in the world do you think you are, weather announcer? I mean, don't you know what I just did to get here? You're trying to tell me not to stay outside? Ha! You got to be kidding me. You say, preacher, you're crazy. And anytime we don't heed the warnings, we are crazy. And we will pay for it. It was over 20 some years ago. We were celebrating our 5-year anniversary at our church in Bern, Indiana, and we had a little get together with all the people that were with us in the beginning when we started the church. And we had a fellowship. We'd planned it for quite a while, and Brenda was feeling kind of sick. So she took some pills. I don't even remember what they were now. It was a congestion kind of a thing. And she talked to me, and I said, well, I said, you know, you've really got to be feeling good because we got all these people that we're entertaining and all this stuff, and it's a special time. I said, maybe you ought to take something else with that. She said, well, honey, she said, it says on here not to. I said, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. Isn't it amazing how smart we aren't? And so I believe she had taken a Deacon Justin, and then on top of that, she took Alka-Seltzer cold medicine, I think, or something like that. I said, this stuff, all it does is bubble inside you, so it'll be all right. You need to bubble. And, you know, and my degree, you know, my doctor's degree gave me all the right. And so I'll never forget this. We're fellowshipping and we're eating, and she's feeling pretty good. You know, everything's working well until she collapsed. Literally collapsed, fell down. We had to carry her from her neck down. She couldn't move anything. She couldn't feel anything. And we had no idea. Took her to the hospital and thought she was, they mentioned paralysis. And come to find out that the combination of the medicines that clearly on that warning, it said on the box, and if you'd have heeded that, you'd have been all right. Now, be careful. Guess what they printed in the newspaper as far as ambulance runs or however that was? I believe it was an ambulance run. Drug overdose. I said, honey, you should not have done that. You know, how many of our warning labels on our medicine say, do not take if. Do not take if. Do not take. And then they'll list all these different things. Do not take if. And we look at it and say, well, I'm smarter than they are. I know more than they do. That's what I did with my wife. That's what I did with the Vogue. I mean, I just said, hey, you don't know what you're talking about. Do you know how much money I spent to get here? Do you know how much time I'm taking? I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to do what I want to do. And you say, that's not smart. And it's not smart when you do that with God either. It wasn't smart when Adam and Eve did it. God said, you can have anything you want. God said, any tree, anything you want to eat, it's all yours. There's one tree, though, just one tree. You cannot eat that fruit. That's it. Just one tree. You can have all the other ones, but one tree you can't have. See, here's the thing. Now, everybody has medicine in your cabinet, or you have something. Maybe you have some kind of herbal thing or something like that. But they all have warning signs on, or they all say a warning. They all say something about do not do this. Hey, why don't you throw those out? Because they're telling you not to do something that you may want to do. Why don't you get rid of them? Huh? I mean, we don't like God saying thou shalt not. We get upset at God. There's folks in this room right now. You're upset at God because he said you can't do this. Yeah, but I want to do it. I want to do what I want to do. Yeah, but God said not to. And again, remember this, because if you do, thou shalt surely die. He says, wait a minute. God, this is our garden. You told us it was our garden. You told us to enjoy ourselves. God, don't you want us to be happy? God says, I want you to be alive. Amen? I mean, it's like I said, hey, God, I want to be happy. I want to be out here walking. I want to be outdoors. God says, but I'd kind of like you to breathe. Amen? Yeah. Why is it, you ever driving down the road and there's a sign that says, do not enter? You ever just get mad and boycott the highway? You're not going to tell me what to do. Tell me, do not enter. You ever seen a place where it says do not enter and the road's gone? Are you tempted? Aren't you tempted? Bless God, I pay my taxes. Tell me not to enter. I paid for this road. I paid for what they're doing there. I'll move the sign and I'm going to enter anyway. How about a sign that says one way, do not enter? Bless God, they have no right. They can't tell me one way, do not enter. I'm going to do what I want to do. You say, preacher, do you know how ridiculous that is? Why do we do that with God? Why do we remove his sign and go ahead and enter anyway? Why do we remove his sign? I mean, do you understand how much more dangerous it is to remove God's sign than it would be to remove a sign where you might plunge off into a ditch? where you might plunge off into a ravine, where you might get sick for 4 days and you can't breathe, where you might get sick and be almost paralyzed, where you might take something and it cause you to be dizzy and maybe to be sick for a while. Do you understand how much more foolish it is to say to God, God, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to go ahead and do what I want to do because I don't care what you say. I want to do this thing. Hey, why don't you the next time you come to that one-way sign says, do not enter, why don't you just go ahead and drive in there? You say, well, I'm not stupid, but you are with God. Several years ago, around Christmas time, fellow was drunk, got on the interstate, saw a sign, said, do not enter, but he's drunk, disregarded the sign, entered anyway, and hit a family in their van head on, killed most of them. Why? Because he disregarded the do not enter sign. But first he disregarded common sense. Isn't that what we do? I mean, here in the beginning, Genesis, the book of beginnings, right here in the beginning, we see a negative thing. God says you can do this, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this. But he says in verse 17, thou shalt not eat of it. God says, I've given you everything, anything. You have hundreds and thousands of trees. But here's one. You can't eat it. Can't have it. Thou shalt not. And you know what we say about that? We say, hey, that's not fair. Because that's the one tree that I want. That is the one thing that I want. And then we say, God, why are you so negative all the time? God, why can't you let me have what I want? I want to talk to you about that. A couple of points. Number one, and this is so true, the devil draws attention to the thou shalt not. Always. He draws attention to the thou shalt not. Why in the world is that all we hear? You know, Brother Caleb will tell you this, working with teenagers. Why is God against everything that I like? You hear it all the time. All the time. Your kids will say the same thing. Why do you have to have so many rules that hurt me? You know, you hear it all the time. You ever thought about all the rules you're allowed, all the things you're allowed to do? Isn't that a wonderful thing? All the things you can do. You know, you can eat with a family. Isn't that great? Hey, you got a light switch in your bedroom. Isn't that wonderful? Huh? Hey, you've got heat in the winter and you have air conditioning in the summer. You can open up your window and let the air blow through. You can breathe. Isn't that a great thing? I'll tell you, it's inconvenient not to breathe. Seriously. I mean, all the positive things, all the good things, and the devil always draws attention to the thou shalt nots. You know, the devil is very negative. If you'll study your Bible, you'll see how negative he is. He's opposite of God. For every positive, you know, where God is love, the devil is hate. Where God is light, the devil's dark. I mean, everything. He's going to always be negative. So it only makes sense. We should know that. We should understand that the devil is going to be negative about everything. In fact, people are very satanic when they're always negative. Somebody say amen. I think I was gone, you became Presbyterian or something. I mean, seriously, if you would think about that just a little bit. I mean, people that are, you know, you come in and say, hey, isn't it a beautiful day? There's people like that. You know, hey, you don't even ask them how they're feeling because they're never feeling good. It's just always bad. You know, they don't even know how to smile. Boy, isn't God good? Maybe to some people. Yeah, that's just listen to the devil. He's negative. In the end times, anti-Christ. What's that? It's opposite of Christ. Anti, opposed to, negative of Christ. And he is the negative of Christ. He's the opposite of everything Jesus is. Jesus sent him. Jesus died on a cross to pay for our sins. The devil is selfish, self-motivated. I will do this. I will do that. And the devil doesn't care about you. He cares about the devil. God loves you. God cares about you. And the devil's negative. He's the opposite. And he draws attention to the thou shalt nots. Always. Well, you know, some of our teenagers will read the Bible and say, there's another one. There's another rule. But it's not just teenagers. Did you know teenagers become adults? And do you know why, as an adult, you're so negative? Because you were negative when you were young. And do you know why all you ever notice is the bad things and the negative things instead of looking at all that God has done and the beauty and the wonderful things God's done? Notice, the Bible says in verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Every tree, oranges, figs, pears, apples, peaches, all of it, it's yours. All the choices, what more could a man want? Hey, Eve, could you bake me a pie in every one of those fruits? You know, I want an apple pie, and then could I have a cherry pie, and then could I have a peach pie, and then, I mean, Eve would run out of time baking all the pies. All the choices. All the choices. The T-bone tree, you know, make mine medium rare today. I'm just saying all the choices. But God said, there's one you can't have. What? What? What do you mean I can't have that one? Yeah, they're just one. I mean, come on. Eve had pets galore. She had lions, dogs, praise God, bears. You know, she had nice cuddly elephants running around. Anything she wanted. Food, anything she wanted. No work, no sweat, no pain. I mean, come on. Doesn't that sound good? Yeah. Yeah. But one tree. I was fine until he said there was one tree I can't have. Not that I've even looked at it and wanted it. But now that he said I can't have it, now I want it. Now that God said no, I want it. Isn't it interesting? Chapter 3, verse 1, look at it real quick. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? What's he drawing attention to? The one tree. And, you know, why didn't Satan come and say, boy, aren't the apple trees pretty? Wow, have you eaten one of those apples? Isn't it interesting? The devil never says that. Hello? I mean, boy, hey, aren't those figs good? Yeah. Isn't it amazing? Just that one thing. Here's the thing you can't have. And the devil draws attention to it right away. All the things they had, all the positive things. Listen to this, 41,173 verses in the Bible. Did you get that? 41,173, 240 is all that say thou shalt not. The Bible's just a bunch of, you can't do this and you can't, really? Half of 1%. Isn't that amazing? Do you know most of the people out there, they think that the Bible's negative? But only half of 1% says thou shalt not. You say, wow, I didn't realize that. Yeah, because the devil gets you to focus on the negative. Somebody said, well, I can't go to Berean. It's too strict. Really? Huh. That's amazing, isn't it? Too strict, huh? Yeah. You guys believe the Bible's strict. Huh. I just said, only half of 1% is thou shalt not. There's so much God has provided. And then there's one in the beginning, thou shalt not. You ever thought about everything's provided, but then there's one, thou shalt not? Just one. Hey, Adam, you can go drink the water out of that stream anytime you want, and it's perfect. See, they didn't even have to buy it bottled then. Amen? By the way, have you ever thought, where's the bottled water come from? Well, it says, yeah, it does, doesn't it? Folks, honestly, think about all the things they could do. Adam, you can frolic in the garden if you'd like. You can tiptoe through the tulips if you want to. It doesn't matter. Anything you want to do, Adam, it's all yours. Just take, hey, see the sunset? Isn't that beautiful? Watch the sunrise. It's going to be just as beautiful. Hey, hear the waves crash. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, yeah. See the water? It's perfect. The fruit, the food, everything you want. And the devil has to say to Eve, hey, what about that one tree? Well, you know, I've been thinking about that, devil. I've been thinking about that one tree. Who does God think he is? It's almost as foolish as if we were to stop. Go, hey, do this afternoon, all right? Find that interstate or that one-way street, and it says, do not enter one way. And just stand there and look at it and gripe for a while. I mean, with all the miles and miles and miles and miles of road you can drive on. But there's that one spot. Doesn't it irritate you? I want to go there. I want to drive on that street. You say, that's ridiculous. And so is our griping at God. It is just as ridiculous. It is just as foolish that we would do that. Amen. I just wonder if people would gripe and complain and get mad about, get your medicine out today. All right? Let's say it says, do not take this on an empty stomach. Just go ahead. Teach them. Who do the doctors think? They don't know what they're talking about. And somebody's going to do it. Bless God, preacher fired me up. Make sure you have poison control phone number real close. Huh? You know? Amen? No, get that medicine. Oh, it offended you, huh? Yeah, Brother Caleb, we know about you. Look, yeah, we know where you're going. We've already dealt with that before. Get upset at that bottle of medicine because they told you, you can't do this. Huh? Isn't it amazing how upset we get over the few things not to do when there's so much we can do and so much we would enjoy? You know, well, there's a rule about this and a rule about that, but there's so much we can do. It's like the rules in life. Amen? Okay, I'll tell you, just get mad at the State Highway Patrol. Okay? Sign says 55, teach them. Show them. Bless God. You're not going to tell me how fast I can drive. And watch this. Click. No seatbelt. Ha! That'll teach them. You might as well do it. You gripe about it all the time. Right? So I'm gonna go 70 in a 55. Go do it. Go ahead. You say, but I got news for you. That's nothing. That fine that you're gonna pay, that's nothing compared to telling God, I don't care what your book says. You say thou shalt not, I want it. And I want to do it. See, Satan is so negative. And I'm going to tell you, he draws attention to the thou shalt not. You know, we ought to be so excited about all we can do. Amen? That one thou shalt not is ruining your life. That one thou shalt not, that one thing that God says you cannot do that, you can't do it. But remember this, he said it because, well, the day you do, you'll die. You really will. You're going to suffer for what you do. Huh? That one thing. Number two, thou shalt nots are for our protection. That newscaster or that weather person, they didn't announce that. Do not stay outside if you have asthma or respiratory problems. The fog is very dangerous for you. They didn't do, nah, 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 you came all the way from Michigan, you can't go out. Do you understand that? Hey, you know, we always look at her, oh, you know, my parents have this rule, they hate me. You're an idiot. That is just, it is so ridiculous, but we get in that mindset because the devil's got us to focus on that negative thing and we didn't look at all the good things. We're just looking at that one bad thing and we say, oh, what did I got to have it? Let me have my way. You ever watch a kid get on the ground and kick their feet and throw a fit? I mean, actually do that? Do you know how ridiculous that is? Well, see, adult, you were there once, and you've just grown up doing it. And now you do it toward God. The thou shalt nots are for our protection. I've mentioned this before. I remember as just a very little boy, there was a ditch across the street. And mom and dad, they said, do not cross that street to play in that ditch. Now, I always thought the problem was the ditch. Honestly, I just thought, they don't want me in the ditch. They said, do not cross the street to go play in that ditch. Over and over and over, I heard that. And I was very young, probably four or five, I was very little. And just over and over. And I got mad about that thing. Now, could I go the other way and play in the woods? Oh, anytime. Could I go over there and play at the neighbor's house? Oh, sure, that's no problem. Do not cross the street. Who do they think they are? And you know, as just a very little boy, and I don't remember a lot about this, but I do remember hearing the ambulance and going outside and seeing my little friend laying out in that street and seeing blood all over the place because he'd gotten hit by a car. And as a very little boy, I understood that's why they didn't want me to cross the street. So you say, I don't understand it. Why won't God let me do this? Why won't God let me have this? Why don't you trust God? God said, the day you do it, you're going to die. You are going to die. Look, you don't eat the fruit. It's for your protection. How many parents you've told your child over and over, do not touch the stove. Do not touch the pan on the stove. Why? That's why. They do. Can you hear the 5 and 6 year olds all the, you know, they don't love me. My parents don't love me. I can touch any pan I want except for the one on the stove. Who do they think they are? They'll let me touch the pan in the cupboard. They'll let us play we'll make the racket with the pans. I'm allowed to do, but no. I want the pan on the stove. I want the pan that has water in it on the stove. I want to get burnt. You say, preacher, that is utterly ridiculous. And how ridiculous is it that God says, I've given you all these things, but you want the one thing? I told you, don't do it. And I'm just trying to protect you. This tree represented a choice. And I've said this many times, God wants us to choose Him. God said, I don't want you to have the knowledge of good and evil. To know sin. You know, God said, I don't want you to know sin. There is a blessing of innocence. Do you know that? Some of you kids, I know about all that stuff. That's too bad. That's a shame. It really is. You know, we think it's such a great thing that we are streetwise. Yeah, I'm streetwise, man. That's too bad. It's too bad you are. You know. Your parents hear some word and you say, I hear that all the time. That's a shame. Too bad. That's too bad. Because you know what? There is a blessing of innocence. You are not stronger when you learn about sin. You're weaker. I'm weaker because there's a lot I know I wish I didn't know. It amazes me. I wish I knew all that. No, you don't. You'd be better off if you didn't know. The strongest teenager or young person or even adult is the one who's not tasted sin. Always. The one who doesn't know the slang and the jokes, and all the hidden meanings. That's the strongest person. The one who everybody's laughing about the joke, and they're going, I don't get it. Everybody looks up, they just don't know. Yeah, and they're doing real well being ignorant. They really are. Praise God for people who blush.
Well, I know all that stuff.
Yeah, what a shame. I know a lot of stuff too, and I wish I didn't. I honestly wish that I did not. Because once you cross that barrier, it becomes easier and easier and easier to fall. Okay, Adam and Eve, you learned sin. But later on, their son Cain killed their son Abel. What do you think? Would they have been better off to not know? How do you suppose Cain ever got it into him to kill Abel? Well, Daddy and Mommy learned sin. That's how. That's how. I mean, I'm talking about a funeral service and their boy is dead because he was killed by their other boy. Now, we read that and we just pass over it. These are people. These are just like you and I. God said, death is going to come when you eat that fruit. Well, God's not going to stop me. I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. And they did. But they'd have been a whole lot better off not to know. Yeah, God said, I don't want you to have the knowledge of good and evil. God says, I just want you to do right, love me. That's all. Yeah, but I got to know. How many kids just had to know and their life is ruined? How many adults? You sit here today, you just had to know, didn't you? You just had to know what it was. All the things God gave you, all the things God's provided, but you just had to know. If I just can't know, I can't take it. You could take it. You'd be far better off. The thou shalt not, that was there to protect Adam and Eve and their little family. Amen. The thou shalt not, that was there to protect all the people in Noah's day. Are you listening? Well, I don't know about you, but I often think about that ark, and I often think about Noah and his family, and they're safe on the ark, but I also often think about the people on the outside literally scratching at the walls of that ark trying to get in as the floodwaters rose that would eventually drown them. What do you think? Would they have been better off if the world did not know? Yeah. I just want to know what it's like to get a buzz. You're better off not to know. You're better off. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I just want to know what it's like to have AIDS. If I could just know what it is to get an abortion. Well, you know, I've counseled a whole lot of women that got an abortion, and after years and years, they're haunted by that. Well, if I could just know, you know, I'm a teenager, I just have to have a baby. No. I got news for you. Your curiosity is going to ruin your life. Yeah. You fellas, with your pornography, you just had to know, didn't you? And now you can't get rid of it. Now it's every day. Well, it's not just when you get on the computer or when you go to the library and get on the internet or wherever it might be. Now it's not just guys, it's some of you girls too. You got porn problems, seriously. Because you just had to know. I'm curious about all this. And now it's burned into your mind. And now you can't even get rid of it. Now it's every morning, every afternoon, every evening. It's all the time. And some of you guys, you can't even look a girl in the eyes anymore because your mind is so filled with wickedness. Yeah, but you had to know, right? And God says, thou shalt not. And it's there to protect you. And the alcoholic wishes he never would have tasted it the first time. And the smoker wishes he never would have smoked for the first time. And the people who hate wish they would have never hated for the first time. Yeah, I'm just telling you, I just have to know. Yeah, and all that God's given, all that you have, everything that is so good. And God says, I'm trying to protect you. Thou shalt not. Hey, you teenagers, you know what you ought to do? You ought to thank your mom and dad today for the rules they have. Oh, I don't like those rules. If you will just obey them, you'll be better off. But it's unreasonable. I suppose it seemed unreasonable not to eat that fruit of that tree, didn't it? But now we know the story, don't we? And as soon as they ate that fruit, they plunged themselves and mankind into sin. The knowledge of good and evil. Last thing, number three, Satan wants you to think that the thou shalt nots are something good that God doesn't want you to have. And there's folks in this room like that right now. Satan wants you to think that all those thou shalt nots are, hey, that's a secret thing that is really good that God doesn't want you to have. I mean, it's a really good thing, and God doesn't want you to have good things. Isn't that something? Go back to chapter 2 and verse 4. It says, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, every plant of the field before it was in the earth, every herb of the field before it grew. The Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. There was not a man to till the ground, went up a mist. God's doing all these things. And you go on in chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible talks about God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be open, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. All these different things, you know. Satan points out that one tree, you know, that one tree. And he says, God doesn't want you to have that. God doesn't, you know, all the things God's done, but Satan points out that one tree. And he says, hey, God has something there, it's hidden there, that is good for you, and he doesn't want you to have. One thing. And God doesn't want you to enjoy it. Now, wait a minute. Are we talking about God? God who gave them everything else? Are you listening to me? God who gave them everything else. God who gave them water, air, perfect, food, everything. God doesn't want you to have something good. Wait a minute. Hey, Christian. Are we talking about God who gave His Son? Now I want you to think, okay, because you have to think. You have to get away from everything the world says, everything your flesh says, and you have to stop and you have to think. We're talking about God who the Bible says every good gift cometh from above. All the good comes from above. Everything. Why in the world would God withhold anything good for us? He wouldn't. Yeah, but I think, and that's your problem right there. Because it's not good for you. That's the whole point. Why would that weather announcer try to ruin my vacation? Why would that doctor and those people that put together that concoction that are called my pills, why wouldn't they want me to do this with them? Why would those engineers put a sign, road out, do not enter? Who do they think they are? Why would they put that there? Why, when the road comes to an end at the ocean, why do they have to sign up that says, do not go further? What are they trying to do to me? They know there's something there I'm going to miss. It's called drowning. Are you listening? God gave us His Son. God has given us every good gift. God doesn't keep good from us. See, your problem is you're focused on the bad. And you think it's good. But it's not. Huh? It's a lie of the devil. Do you understand that? Why? Hey, let's admit it, all right? We're in church. We're Christians. Admit, okay, preacher, it is a lie. The do not enter sign, I just want to enter. That's all. I just want to enter. Yeah, because the devil's lied to you. You think there's something behind that sign that's good for you. Actually, it's a cliff. And you're going to fall off. The pill sign says, warning, do not do this. Okay, that's... You think, I'm going to experience something. You are. It's called death, sickness, pain. I'm just about done. I want you to understand, Satan wants you to think all the thou shalt nots are something good that God doesn't want you to have. But in reality, there's something that will hurt you. Every one of them. Every one of them. Adam and Eve, they went ahead and did it. Verse 7, the eyes of them both were open. They knew they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together, made themselves aprons. Hey, they knew. Okay, they knew. Now they know. They ate the fruit. Now they know. Okay. Devil, you've convinced us. Now we know. Verse 8, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife, what'd they do? They hid themselves. First time ever. All the other time, they loved God. Stay with me now, okay? We're just about done. All the other times, they said, God, we love you. Good morning, God. Good to see you this morning. But today they hid. Doesn't that bother you that you're hiding from God now? Doesn't that bother you? You used to read your Bible and love it. You used to walk with God and love Him. You used to let Him put His arms around you and comfort you and love you and give you peace and joy. And you don't have that now. Why? Because you know. You know. And now you hide from God. One of the biggest signs to you that you are backslidden is you're hiding from God. Because it's not long you're out of church. It starts with not serving God anymore. Then you get out of church. And I'm telling you, I've watched it over and over and over and over and over. And they felt guilt for the first time. Because they knew. They knew. Devil said, you need to know this. You need to know this. You need to experience this. He says it to you too. Says it to teenagers. Hell, he says it all the time. Oh, you need to know about all this. Yes, the fruit was good. The fruit was pleasant. The fruit was desired, according to verse 6. But it certainly was not good. It brought death. And God knew that. And God knows in your life too. He knows what we should do, what we should not do. That's why He tells us, don't do this. God knew. People populating in mass numbers are prisons. If they'd have just listened, thou shalt not. Divorce is rampant in our nation. People would just listen, thou shalt not. People dying of emphysema from smoking, people just would listen. Something looked good, something seemed good, thou shalt not. Had a cousin just recently die of AIDS. Oh, it looked so good, it seemed so good. To just listen to thou shalt not. Yeah, trust God with all the thou shalt not. Half of 1% of all the Bible, thou shalt not. And why are we so focused? God's just so negative. No, God's very positive. There's so much you can do, so much good you can do, so many wonderful things. Don't get burnt. Don't get bent out of shape over that little sign that says do not enter. Don't get bent out of shape over the warning label that says do not do this. Instead, say, God, I'm so glad that all you have for me and all you've given me, and I'm going to enjoy all that I have. Hey, focus on what you have today. I'm miserable. No, you're not miserable. No, the only thing you are is you're focused on the thou shalt not instead of focusing on all that you have. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. No one's talking. No one's disturbing anyone else. This morning, I wonder if there's someone here who'd say, preacher, I'm not even saved. If I died right now, I do not know whether I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand and say, please pray for me. I am not sure I'm going to heaven. Anyone like that? Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Anyone? Anyone at all? Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. How many Christians would say, preacher, I am a Christian. I am saved. But God has spoken to my heart about something today. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? All over, just slip it up. God's speaking to your heart about something today. Come on, be honest, be honest. Father, bless the invitation. I pray that your will be done in our lives. Help us, God, not to focus on the thou shalt nots, but to focus on all the wonderful things you've done for us, all that you do for us, and all that you're going to do. God, you're so wonderful. Please, please speak to our hearts today and help us, God, to obey you and trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. 305-305. Yield not to temptation. God is speaking to your heart today. If you have a decision to make, you come as we sing on the first verse.
Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, He will carry you through. Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. Shun evil compassions, bad language, disdain. God's name hold in reverence, nor take it in vain. To Jesus, He will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The instruments play one more verse. If you need to come, there's still time. I want you to just think about that, that you see it in your mind, that warning sign, that warning label. You hear it. Well, I'm not supposed to do that. God says not to do that. Why don't you trust Him? Why don't you trust Him? Adam, Eve, I've given you everything. Anything you want, it's all yours. There's just one thing. One thing. I don't want you to know this, because it'll hurt you. The day you do it, you will die. They didn't die physically. They died spiritually. You're dying spiritually because of that one thing. Amen. Look up this way, please. You announce ensemble 4:30 and where at?
Fellowship Hall.
Okay. And then, of course, our choirs. First through third will not have practice today. And we will have all of our meetings, of course, 5 o'clock, and then our service tonight at 6 o'clock. And Brother Caleb, I believe, is having a meeting with all the workers. He had said something to me about that, and that'll be after the service tonight, I believe, in the teen room. So if you signed up to help out with the youth explosion, then make sure that you are here tonight for that meeting after the service. And it's going to be great. Looking forward to that. All right, let's close with prayer. Brother Don, pray, please.
Father, we do thank you for the salvation you've given us through your Son. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells us when we receive Him to help us and empower us against temptation. Lord, may we focus on the blessings you've given, the freedom that you've given to enjoy all that you've created for us. And Lord, help us and strengthen us this week to fight against the temptations that Satan would hinder us with and trip us up. Lord, as we go, we pray your blessings upon us. Return safely next service, we pray in Jesus' name.